Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Everybody's got a to-do list. Drop off the dry cleaning. Pick up some milk. Here's an idea. Let's save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. And the good thing is you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. All you have to do is go to geico.com, G-E-I-C-O, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket. It just may be the most rewarding to-do you do today.
Steer, racing, rides, people, and places. With your hosts, Brad Banjor, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
Hey, day two at SEMA, Shift and Steer live from the MagnaFlow booth, our stage here. This is our fourth year with MagnaFlow. We want to thank them. They've been great to us. And I want to say that today is going to be off the hook because first, we have Mark Trosel, head of design for Dodge and SRT. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
We've got Dave Merrick, head of global design for Acura, joining us as a guest co-host. And later, we've got David Freiberger from Roadkill. He's going to be coming up here in about 20 minutes. And then after that, are you ready for this? Come on, help me here.
I'm ready. Xbox
it is
Master.
Justin Osmer, Osmer from Forza
yeah.
Motorsports.
Yeah.
So it's an action-packed day, man.
Everybody
we got it all
wants
on.
To
we
be
got
his
the
friend.
Real world, the you know, the 3D world, the whole thing. But everybody, I want to say we really appreciate MagnaFlow giving Shift and Steer. And if you want to find us, go to shiftandsteer.com, and you can get any downloaded episodes from the past, and we've got great guests. But I want to get right into it because, Mark, first of all, you've got a really busy schedule at every SEMA, so thanks for coming out, man.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me. Always love talking cars.
Well, we're in the right place. But, I mean, so, you know what? I see stuff like this everywhere nowadays, okay?
Yeah.
I mean,
what is that? Everybody wants to be your friend. Here, Brad, by the way, I brought signage.
There. Oh, cool. Yeah, Shift and Steer. Now, they're getting it going. But, hey, I know you've got some great announcements that are down in the booth right now, but before we get into that, there's something I'm really interested in because I see this really cool thing happening, and I want to know if it was conscious or if it was just organic, because what I see is that when I grew up and I was living in Nebraska and in Omaha, and we'd go out and we'd street race and we'd go to the car shows and everything, and we would hear these tales of the engineers and the designers that brought cars out on Woodward, but it was trickle down. Now what I see with your Instagram feed is you're bringing that because you drive stuff home that nobody's seen or it's going to be, or maybe it's a research and development that you can show, and you're putting it out there for the whole America. Is that, it's kind of like Woodward Boulevard, but for the masses.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's totally true, right? We love hearing the stories about, you know, guys taking cars out on Woodward street racing at night and those are true stories, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, nowadays we have, you know, M-plate cars that, you know, it gives it away a little bit more when it says manufacturer plate on the back of it, but we've actually got some ways around that, too, that we do some things. But yeah, it's a fun thing, and I like to try and hide things in plain sight a little bit, and, you know, you can actually go back through and see things, see trends, or see little things that we've hidden, you know, throughout social media that... ends up in the customer's
hands. Easter egg.
That minivan is really fast.
Yeah.
Now, Mark, your garage. Tell us about that, because it started out with a horse barn.
Yeah, it was a horse. Bought the house because of the barn. It was a horse barn that I turned into a horsepower barn.
Nice. I like that.
Yeah.
My wife's got big eyes. See? My wife's got big eyes. Look at her.
I don't know.
Right, honey? Yeah.
No, I know that. Where in Detroit?
Rochester.
Okay.
Rochester.
He didn't want to tell the street address.
Yeah. What's your phone number?
And I can Google map that.
Now, Mark, just while we're in it, because we always get into this deep and then we forget. Where can they find you on Instagram?
Trossel Mark, at Trossel Mark.
Okay, because if you haven't been there yet, you want to check it out.
Pretty straightforward.
Can you? I didn't get that one. Can you read it?
TROSTLE.
He's got a famous dad, by the way.
Let's talk about that since Dave brought it up, because you've been around it forever. Tell us about your history and how you got into this as a car enthusiast, because I think right now, I'll admit it, I'm a GM guy, okay? I've always had big block Camaros and Chevelles. However, I told you about the one Mopar that I owned, a 446 pack car, and almost owned a Hemi GTX at one point. Wish I did, but I've always admired what, you know, the guys at, you know, all the Mopar brands have done, and now what Dodge is doing, because it's really brought back that true horsepower wars, which you guys are winning, obviously. And then when you get these celebrity guys like our buddy Goldberg, I was talking to him yesterday about his car, and he's just like, yeah, man, you know, his eyes are huge.
Oh, yeah, he loves it. I mean, we love him, because that is the energy we have with our brand, with Dodge, you know, so he's... He's the mayor of Musselville, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Santa Claus,
yeah,
you know?
The mayor of Musselville. So tell us about it. What's your history? How'd you get into it?
Yeah, and so Dave's point, you know, I was fortunate enough. My dad was a car designer, so I grew up around my dad putting small block Chevys and Vegas and, you know, building hot rods and things like that and drawing cars. And, you know, I'll never forget, though, I remember going to my high school guidance counselor, and they're like, well, what do you want to do? I'm like, well, I want to be a car designer. They're like, well, your math grades suck. You're not going to be that guy. Fortunately,
no engines for you.
Yeah, there's CAD for that.
I knew about...
I'm going to be an engineer.
Field.
No, you're not.
Yeah. They didn't really know what automotive design is. So growing up around that, you know, it really was in my veins. And the day I was born, actually, 1970, my grandfather bought a 70 CUDA. So I think it was destined to end up at Mopar. It was, you know, looking back, it's like my dad was a car designer at American Sunroof Corporation, and he did a lot of performance vehicles there, worked on GNX, AC McLaren stuff and all that. So I kind of grew up exposed to that. So for me to be, you know, kind of leading the team of Dodge and SRT now doing that same stuff, it's pretty surreal for me. And
a dream come true,
it really is.
Because American Sunroof, we did work with them. We did tons of stuff with them. We had show cars built there. And I think that everybody met your dad then met you because we met your dad, and that's how we met. Yeah. You know, it's like through that, not necessarily through the car stuff. But.
Yeah.
Aaron, were you, we know that you're into, what'd you say? Outlaw cars?
Yes.
Okay, so the little dirt track racers.
No.
Oh, well, you changed it from rat rod to outlaw, so I think
my cars are safe and they stop and they drive. I have a question for you, though. I know everybody hits you up for everything, but can we do a Hellcat? I've got three Isettas that are just sitting around, body shells, ready to go.
And, a drag pack Isetta?
And everybody's telling me to put Hayabusa motors. I'm like, I don't want to put a Hayabusa motor. Let's do Hellcat.
A wheel stander.
can you cut a couple cylinders off, though?
So right now, Mark is going, why would you have three Isettas?
Thanks to a gentleman in Texas that abandoned them on his property, I was able to get three Isettas. Yeah.
So, and talking about modification, that's a great lead-in, is that
it
at
is?
Your booth, You are announcing the drag pack, right?
Yep.
Tell us all about that.
Yeah, we introduced our Challenger drag pack car yesterday. Purpose-built drag car. We noticed the graphics on it, you know, from the design standpoint. We're really playing up that heritage piece of our, you know, Mopar past and just the Dodge, you know, DNA. Had a lot of fun with it. We fired it up yesterday at 426 in our booth.
That's awesome.
And then again at 440.
I thought they brought the shuttle back.
Well, that's it. Honestly, from a design standpoint, you know, I'll go and look over there looking at it. I know you worked on him, so I'm like, oh my God, this is so great. But I think that you can tell when a corporation or the designers there did the graphics also. You can immediately go, dude, that's cool.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. You know what it's like.
Yeah, exactly.
Trying to tell people, no, this is cool. Listen to me.
Trust me.
Believe me.
Well, I don't know.
Well, do you have pretty good autonomy?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, right?
It's so important to have that autonomy. And if when you don't, it's better to beg forgiveness.
I do too, because I just claim language. Exactly.
But, I'm really good at saying I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It keeps things pure.
You just go out. Yeah. Oh, well. Sorry.
Yeah.
It's cool, right?
And from the enthusiast point of view, I mean, we came out when you guys had the spring, was it the
Spring Fest.
I was going to call it Spring Flame.
We participate in that. Yep.
And I came out there and saw you guys and saw all the cars. But from an enthusiast point of view, you've got to just know you nailed it when you see that many people and they're all driving the new iron, the new Dodge, and they all are enthusiasts. They're emblazoned with the logos. Yep. I mean, it's just happening.
And people, you know, Hellcat tattoos and demon tattoos. We love it. And that's one of the things.
And are you getting royalties on all those tattoos?
Yeah, right. I wish.
Sort of.
That's one of the things that I love about, especially being a car designer, though, is being able to connect with our customers, especially when it's a passionate type of vehicle, because there's an energy that we get from them. That, you know, I can take back and put into the cars. And,
We're all in it together.
Exactly. Yeah. So I love being able to go to these shows. I love cars anyway, but to be able to connect with people like that.
Do you have a dream car?
Oh, man. I like to say that my dream car isn't out yet. But
So you haven't designed or built it?
I haven't done it yet.
It's the next car I'm going to build. I've heard that before.
I'm fortunate
enough. The next one.
I mean, I worked on, you know, I led the team on the Gen 5 Viper. I have one of those. The Demon. I have one of those. So Hellcat. So it's, I got some pretty good horsepower right now.
It's, hey, Matt, there you are, buddy. Yeah, you just wake up or what?
It's Vegas, after all.
You know what I like, though?
He hasn't woken up yet.
Vegas, you don't go to sleep. What's wrong with you? What time did you get home, Brad?
I left late. Dave was doing Hard Rock karaoke last night. I've got photos to prove it.
But it's live band karaoke. With Ben. Yeah,
and he didn't get to pick the song.
I didn't get to pick the song, and I didn't know the song, which is even better. And it's not like regular karaoke where the ball bounces.
I got to kick you off stage. I don't want to do this, but we got David Freiberger waiting. But, you know, the thing is, what I wanted to wrap it up with is that, Aaron, what's cool is, like, down here, we've got all this design talent, you know, these guys. And that's what's so fun, you know, when you're a builder or whatever, because when Boyd and I were partners and when we hired Chip, you know, it was one of those things that Boyd and I always used to say, we can't even draw stick people. Yeah. We see it in our heads. Yeah. But we need guys like you.
You can draw stick people.
To
I've seen it.
They're not very pretty, though, are they?
They're a little bent over, but it's okay.
But I mean, you need those people to execute and then put in their influence, like you were saying. Oh, come on, let us do it this way and tweak the lines and like that. And it's awesome. And Dave and I do it all the time. We go down the rabbit hole.
Brad's the sous chef.
But hey Brad, thanks so much for coming by.
Oh, thanks for having me.
I'm just testing this microphone, see if this thing is on.
It sounds like you're on now.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, man.
Hey, Mark's leaving. Do you have anything to ask him before we bring up David?
Nah, I talked to him.
Hell no.
I know you do.
I'm just going to say thank you.
Hell no, cat.
Mark and I have been doing interviews over at Roadkill Night, which is a fantastic event. I know we got David Freiberger coming up soon as well, but just an incredible event. It's always great to to connect with Mark over there, and you know, and we, you know, Goldberg and I like to beat him up a little bit to find out what's cooking in the works. Like, hey,
we just spill
Fox Body Matt.
I'm not going to say.
Did you mean headlock? Exactly. Is that what you meant?
No, I'm just saying I don't know if there's a Charger wide body red eye in the works, but there could be a Charger wide body red eye in the works.
So, Mark, you go, what are you working on? Do you go,
let me tell you.
Dodges.
Yeah.
So, what do you want? He's so cagey every time we talk.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't want to get fired. He wants to go in Monday and have his job.
I do like my job.
I tell you what, though, can we at least talk about the promotion that's going on now with the giveaways and the red eyes?
Oh yeah, sure.
Yeah,
go ahead. What a cool giveaway!
Cool.
We've got, in fact, you know, Goldberg has done a great job of advertising that for us. But we've got the ability to win a red eye. We've got 5 red eyes we're going to be giving away. There's questions each week that'll be coming out.
Trivia questions.
They're pretty intense questions. I think the first one is if you straighten out every corner at Pike's Peak.
Yeah.
How fast will it take? There's some.
So it's straighten out Pike's Peak.
Yeah.
How fast can a Challenger red eye make it up the hill? Yeah.
Yeah. Very. Yeah.
But there's not a hill anymore if it's straight, right?
Yeah. Well, we didn't change the elevation, Brad.
But wait, I think we can just solve this right here. 1, 2, 3, 4, and the guy with all the emblazoned artwork there, 5. There's the 5. We're done.
Well, I got one at the drag races on Sunday, so there's 4.
So, there you go. So, Mark, thank you so much. Everybody, make sure you go see Trossel Mark on Instagram, because you see stuff there that is incredible. You get to see what he's into. And then go down to the booth if you're here at SEMA and check it out, because you got the new drag pack coming out down there.
Yeah, drag pack and some other good stuff to see. Yep.
Cool. Thank you very much. We got David Freiberger coming up, and we're going to do a quick little shuffle while these guys talk, and then we want to know where you were.
Yeah, we were... we did a podcast this morning here with Adam Carolla and the Hot Wheels Legends Tour. Our buddy Dave Merrick over here on stage with us was one of the judges for the Hot Wheels Legends Tour. And we announced it this morning that the Nash won Hot Wheels Legends Tour, and that car is going to be made into a Hot Wheels toy.
Like a little one.
Yeah, 1/64th scale. It takes about a year to get it done. But
by next year's Legends Tour winner. That's
yeah, I was trying to...
that comes out before that.
I was trying to find out from those guys in a year from now if they took that Nash over to Barrett Jackson and brought the trophy and the toy, what kind of money... Because they made that car for less than $10,000.
Yeah, but Richard was
going to buy it. Yeah.
He was going to buy it.
So what happened was is
do you know
Richard Rawlings came in and bought the car... And then they needed the car back.
Oh, the Nash hole.
Yeah. So Richard Rawlings actually bought it, and they needed it back because it was in contention for the finale of Legends Tour. So they have a bill of sale to Richard Rawlings, and then they bought it back from Richard Rawlings. So they own the car again, but it actually changed
hands.
They
didn't actually. He owned it for like 30 seconds, and then he changed his mind about selling it.
No, so we talked to him this morning. There is a bill of sale to Richard Rawlings.
Oh, there is, because
they had to buy it back from Richard Rawlings. There's another bill of sale.
Could this be a taxable incident that he has to pay just even though he owned it?
We asked him straight up. It's like, how much money did you lose on the deal? It's like, actually, we made a little. It's like, how is that possible?
Hey, enough about Richard Rawlings, because we've got David Freiberger up here from Roadkill Nights. And, I mean, how are you doing, man?
I could not possibly be better.
You couldn't? Really?
I don't think you could
cut
me a check.
What if you had cake?
Aside from that, I'm pretty good. Or a beer.
You see, everybody's got their hand out. No, so tell us, I mean, you've been here, you know, like us, for just like 48 hours. Well, you've been here longer because you were here for the drag races. But what made your eyes fall out so far?
So I was really stoked to be able to just judge the J.E. Pistons Masters of Motors contest. So we have to walk every square inch of this whole place. And it's the only award that's only paying attention to horsepower here. Doesn't matter about the car at all. So we saw some pretty crazy stuff, and we just gave their Ingenuity Award to Steve Morris, who built the engine in Tom Bailey's car that actually won Drag Week. So to give this context, he built an engine that makes 4,500 horsepower and engineered a bunch of stuff into it so it could drive 1,000 miles on the street, race 5 times in 5 days, and it became the very first car to run in the fives at Drag Week. 599 at 250 miles an hour.
Followed by a fuel
truck. Truly mind-blowing.
And is that the Ingenuity Ingenuity Award?
That's
yeah.
what it's called. Ingenuity.
Yeah. Nice. That's cool.
What kind of car does he put it in that he...
It's a 69 Camaro, which is giving it something because it's actually a Pro Mod car.
Okay.
It's like an NHRA-style Pro Mod car, but with a radiator and two fuel systems and power windows, cup holders... And it is absolutely punishing to ride in. It's horrible.
Wow. Sure it is. Well, Aaron's building one for Drag Week next year. I don't know if you knew. He's doing an Isetta.
He's just teasing an Isetta.
Yeah, no, come on. Hellcat.
Ladder frame, Hellcat motor in the back.
Yeah.
Isetta in the front.
Then you can win the Hot Wheels Legends Tour.
Isetta in the front?
You've got spares. You can ruin one.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Yeah.
You can ruin
I'll
two.
I'll ruin the standard.
It'd be the most talked about car in Drag Week, but
let's do it. Well, you know, we did see that drag racing Isetta at Barrett Jackson that one year. Remember?
That's right. I remember that car.
That thing, yeah. I wouldn't mind building one of those. I'm in.
Matt, you know what he's going to do? He's going to do a Fox body.
I mean, why not?
Yeah. There's nothing if it's not a Fox body.
Well, I'm a truck guy now, so I
saw that. The Lightning is cool. Yeah. I remember testing those.
Really? Do you have a truck here, Matt?
Yeah. That's breaking news.
Man. I don't know if you follow my Instagram, Dave, but I might have made a post about it.
I might have seen
or
it.
Or two or three. But no, he's a truck guy.
Here's the deal, Matt. I do not follow your Instagram. I do. But I still got it, the post.
You still got it, yeah.
Now, Dave, I want to just say, we all follow your Instagram, and... You got to have one of the best jobs ever, man. I mean, because it's like every time I see you pull another ratty old car out and have fun with it, I'm like,
we go, yes!
Why am I sitting at my desk looking at his stuff instead of doing the same thing?
That's what we're there to do on Roadkills, inspire people to work on junk. Yep. And I do have the luckiest job in the entire industry because I get to do Roadkill. Then I get to mess around with engines, which I love, on the Engine Master Show. And yeah. You know, hang out at NHRA with a bunch of the racers and everything. I mean, I feel incredibly lucky, and it's not as punishing as what I was doing as the editor of the magazine.
Deadlines are a little easier?
No deadlines. You know what? People ask me, oh, how is it different? Well, when you're a magazine guy, you got to think of the story, shoot the story, research the story, edit the story, hand in the photos. This deal, I just go, what do you feel like doing today, Finnegan? We're like, let's drink beer and come up with an idea. We do. Let's throw a car out of a helicopter. All right. And we go and do it, and then we go home. And the editors deal with the whole rest of it.
I just had an idea for his Isettas.
Cliff jumping thing.
Yeah, the Alaska cliff jump is great.
Dude, we talked about that last year.
I think we did.
Yeah. But you know, it's an idea that just keeps giving.
Leave my little Isettas alone.
We literally just did the 100th episode of Roadkill. I can't believe we've been doing it for 8 years.
Wow, that's awesome.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
And we did literally throw a dart at a map, meaning a Dodge dart, out of a helicopter at a map the size of a football field. And in typical fashion, we missed the map entirely.
Pancake dart.
What was the map of?
The whole United States.
Yeah.
And it landed in roughly Hawaii, which we hadn't really drawn.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, that's where I'd go.
Well, we talked about it. We did talk about it, but we didn't do it.
Have you guys ever done anything with a 95 Ford pickup truck?
I don't know anybody who owns one.
Just the wheels?
It's not necessarily roadkill material anymore.
Yeah. Anymore.
Anymore.
Yeah. Well, we got
it. Well, when I saw it on Sunday, it was looking like it, but you came through, man. You got it done.
Yeah,
wait.
Yeah,
you.
Yeah. Wait, actually here at the show?
Yes. It's out
to the Magnaflow booth out front.
Oh, I wanted to know where to avoid.
But Goldberg's car's there, too.
It's
so
covered in
that.
All the grime and grunt from the Ford out front area.
I was out there twice and couldn't find it. So
Roush out there. How could you not find it?
It's under a pile of rubber.
Yeah, it's
I don't know why you get flack for this, honestly. That is a hot truck. It's cool.
It is.
So I'm going to back you on this. Yes, it was.
You know, I'm a fan of Engine Masters, and I love that show and all the testing you guys do. So this is a 351 engine. I called all my friends at Dart. I said, hey, I want to do a 351, but let's make it bigger and better. They said, let's go 427 with our biggest 225cc heads. And I said, great. Let's make it aluminum block as well.
Oh, yeah, have to.
So let's go aluminum block, aluminum heads, and then we chatted with Pro Charger. We're doing a D1SC. I don't know what that equates to. You probably know more than me. Probably in the 700 horsepower range. Maybe
seven?
Maybe eight.
What's wrong with you? Four digits or nothing.
Okay, but we have terrible 91 octane gas in California.
Yeah, so. You can still make 1,000 with it on the 91 we have out there if it's intercooled.
Wow,
1,000 it is then. We're going for 1,000 horsepower.
Man, you just raised the bar, buddy.
I want 1,000 horsepower.
Nice. Oh,
but I'm going to cram it all through an original 95 Lightning intake manifold.
500 horsepower.
Yeah. 500 horsepower.
No, that's seriously a quirk. That's a problem.
I'm working with the team and we're hogging it out and. The guys that I'm working with claim they can get 320 CFM per runner.
Okay, so that's about 650 horsepower NA.
But they do say don't touch it because it'll be paper thin.
Yeah. So. Well, there is that. Yeah, it's the see-through intake manifold.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. You can put your finger through it.
We'll see what happens. But, 1,000
don't they make a different
great.
Manifold you could just buy that's like that?
I know, but it's not a Lightning anymore if you do that.
It's not anyway. The wheels are different.
3D print and aluminum, the new intake.
There you go.
We spent a fortune on wheels to make them look like we spent thousands of dollars on wheels and hours.
So buy an intake that looks like the original one.
But now you can fit your big Wilwood brakes under the Bond Speed wheels. Yeah.
There we go.
So,
that's got a little bit.
And you need that for 1,000 horsepower.
Any of you guys standing here watching the show, if later on go out to MagnaFlow, check out Matt's truck. It's a 95 Lightning. We did some 3D wheels for it from Bond Speed. And they turned out great. All the Ford enthusiasts love them. All the GM people hate them. And they kind of rub their head like, what?
While you're out there, it is parked next to my CarCast co-host, Goldberg, his car. He has his Speedcore built Dodge Challenger carbon fiber wide body Hellcat out there. I don't even know what order all those words go in, but they all kind of make sense.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Jumble them in.
They equate
it's a cool car out there next to yours.
It's a very cool car that's out there. It's got the 4.5 liter Whipple. It's like, I think Gearhead Fabrications built the motor. I think they did 950 to the tires.
Oh, it's not even 1,000 then. David wouldn't
even
want to get
it. It's over 1,000 just out of the tire.
It would be.
Yeah. Crankshaft, yes. Hey, so, now do you have any of your cars here?
No,
anything
I
have done on the show
this time.
No,
it is often a punishment worse than death to try and finish a car and get it into here. So, no, I did not do that this year. However, my co-host Mike Finnegan has blasphemy here in the Motor Trend booth. And that has been an epic story. He won Drag Week in his class with that this year.
That's so
and
cool.
Then we did a shootout with another guy from Drag Week at the NHRA event this weekend, which he also won. So, he's just getting dump truck loads of accolades for what we've done with that car.
I saw the footage on that. What is that car running? Because it looks like it's screaming.
It has been 852 at 158 miles an hour.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's a Hemi with a stick and a solid axle up front. It's,
I know.
Finnegan's great.
The thing's awesome.
Finnegan's great. That car hauls, but
awesome.
Did he win the Roadkill Nights Drag Racing Series? He did not.
Oh, no.
But he looked the best.
I'm undefeated at that when I'm racing against him through all fault of his own.
Yeah.
But my car will never be as fast as his, but I have lucked out every time.
I feel like the cars, the Roadkill Knights, the challengers that we race, are just kind of too new and too nice for Finnegan to do that well in drag racing.
Yeah, but he didn't stop Richard Rawlings from putting it into the wall.
Yeah.
Well, Finnegan put it in the wall this year, too. He had our 68 Charger, the General Mayhem, and I was racing him in my Super B, and he actually, when we were doing the burnouts, lost it and came in behind me, and he Rawlings the wall, like in the same exact spot.
That is a term now,
isn't
it?
So that's what it is.
Yeah, that's a verb. He Rawlings the wall.
I like
Richard Rawlings.
Yeah.
Are we going to hear every year you hear on the news, they go, some new terms that have been in the Webster Dictionary.
That
guy Rawlings,
Urban Dictionary.
What are we looking forward to on Roadkill?
The 100th episode is out right now. The next three episodes are pretty awesome. The next one that you'll see is actually Roadkill Nights. And we did a shootout of all of our Dodge Project cars at M1 Concourse the week before and had a ton of fun. And then it covers the celebrity race quite a bit.
You know, and M1 Concourse, by the way, what a great facility.
Yeah.
And you guys stepped up your game bigger and better this past year because you did two days, Friday, Saturday.
Yeah. So M1 Concourse, for those who aren't aware, it's at the site of the old Pontiac plant in Pontiac, Michigan. And it's a road racing course where you can buy a garage and keep your car there and race pretty much any time during the week. But they also host Roadkill Nights, all the car show part of it, where we did start Friday night this year.
Yeah.
And then we did our racing Saturday as per usual and attempted to do this podcast there through the tones of lots and lots of horsepower happening in the background.
Yeah. It was a little hectic. There's a lot of noise going on for sure. somehow we got staged like in a tower above the drag strip. So
with rubber flying
out. Every time you go to say something, it's
there's a lot of pausing and some editing involved, but it turned out to be a great.
So that racetrack is like thermal, only really cheap.
Is like what?
Thermal.
Thermal?
Only more, less expensive.
Have you been out to thermal?
Have you been out to thermal raceway?
Yeah. No, and there's a new one, actually. When you said that, I was actually thinking of the new one at Desert Center at Chuckwalla.
Yeah.
Which is just as hot, if not worse.
Yeah. It's probably not worse.
So where are you going to be the rest of this show for the people that are here live? And then the people at home, they can go on their social media and find you. Do you have any thing that we can...
I do, as I whip out my iPhone. I appreciate that chance to plug. My next deal is I'm going to be at Pro Charger here at the SEMA show from 1 to 2 o'clock. For those of you who are not here at the SEMA show, follow me. It is at David Freiberger on all of the social media platforms.
Man, we appreciate you taking it, because I know your schedule gets booked up because David Freiberger's a star, man.
That's right.
I mean, you know.
It's the name David.
You walk down, there's the Freiberger. It's going to become a verb.
So. To Freiberger something? Yeah, you don't know what that verb actually means. It's a family show.
Have you done that yet? Open the burger stand?
The fries and burgers?
Yes. Yeah.
No, my dream is always to open a junkyard with a taco stand, so not really
handy. Oh, I like that idea.
Yeah. Very.
That's key. Everybody wants to eat and stand around at a junkyard and drink beer.
No question.
Yeah,
sounds like a good idea.
It's a genius idea.
Cerveza. Danny Trejo in there.
Squirrels.
Well, he already has the tacos.
He could probably partner with you.
The squirrel tacos.
So, hey, David, thanks for coming by. We've got another guest coming up. So
that means get out.
Justin Osmer.
I know.
Yeah, from Forza Motorsports.
Yes, he's going to be there. And as we're shifting guests, I'm going to remind everybody, you can go to MotorTrend.com. You can get the MotorTrend app. You can subscribe to all of their stuff there. And they brought back all the seasons of Top Gear that you can watch. So there's lots and lots of great content up at MotorTrend.com.
We should. We can keep talking. There's people out here.
Yeah,
thank
well, you
know.
Thank you
there.
Well, I got nothing to say.
Who are you guys waiting to sign? Chip. Chip. Cool. Make him draw you something.
Do we love our job?
Otherwise, go find Mark again, and he'll draw you something, because I drew it out yesterday.
The third man that everybody wants to know.
You don't need that.
You don't need the headphones. You'll be the only one.
Yeah. I know. It looks official. You look like a gamer with headphones, right?
Maybe we all should. Right.
The gamer just came out.
Yeah. Oh, red light just went on. I'm sorry, Justin. We're done. No.
It's a staging
light. All right. We welcome Justin Osmer, my buddy from Forza Motorsport. And, how are you doing?
Great. Thanks. Thanks for having me.
He's a big Audi aficionado, by the way.
Oh, well,
yeah. He's all Audi all the way.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you have?
Little passion there. Well, I'll work backwards. I've got an 85 GT coupe, white one.
That's very cool.
I've got a 2003 A4 Avant manual, 6-speed.
Cool.
That was my first Audi. Have an RS3, 2018 RS3.
Boy, this guy is an Audi.
Yeah, that's a nice one.
And then a Q7.
Oh, man.
And had an e-tron for a blink of a second. But
to be fair, the Q7 is the wife's car.
The grocery
getter.
Right.
Yeah,
have a hauler. Got to have a hauler.
And I'm waiting for him to get the new RS6 wagon.
Yeah, right? Oh,
yeah,
man.
I've been dreaming for that one for a while. So.
We're Audi fantasy people. We're not there yet.
Yeah.
I've had a few.
Not anymore.
I've moved them
not
on.
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
So, Justin, how many of those have been immortalized in Forza?
The RS3's in Forza, not mine, but we have RS3 in Forza.
The wagon, say it was yours and we'd never know.
The wagon, unfortunately, was a traffic car in the first Horizon. I was like, what are you guys doing?
Nice.
How can you have that as a traffic car? I want to drive it. But, So
tell us, what's new with the game? We got Forza Motorsport and Forza Horizon are sort of the two big...
Yes, there's always something going on, right?
Yeah, you get teleported into the game now.
Yeah, that's right.
Totaltron. Yeah,
that's right. We've got those two products out right now, so Forza Motorsport 7 and Forza Horizon 4, both doing really well. We just publicly announced a couple weeks back 12 million players are playing Forza Horizon 4, if you can believe that. So
nice.
Just a few people playing that game right now. We've got more content coming into that game every single week. More expansion packs are coming, other things like that. And then the other bigger news or new announcement is we've got a third title called Forza Street, which is a sort of a drag race style game, free-to-play game. It's out on PC right now, and it'll be on mobile iOS and Android by the end of the year.
Wow. So it's like a street drag racing game?
Yeah, so point A to point B through fictional streets of Miami. And it's not a straight line, so you sort of wander through the street, elevation, the whole thing, and of course it's at night and slick, wet roads, so it looks cool, you know.
Any of Freiburger's cars in there?
So, yeah.
Any cats or dogs running across the road? Or
any derelicts? Any derelict options?
That's right.
What's the typical release schedule now? Now it seems like you guys are doing at least a game a year, or at least an update on a game.
Well, we were, yeah, for a long time, for the last, gosh, almost 10 years, it's every single year we had a title out. But what we've seen is this evolution in the gaming space now where the games can live longer. There's no need to come rush in with a whole new big game every single year because more players are just enjoying the content that's in there and we just add more content to it. So over a period of a year, we just add more to it. The game almost doubles in size with a couple expansions and a bunch of other things. So there's no need to rush in. So typically right now we'd be launching the next motorsport, but we're not. We're working on the next thing, and we're just pouring more into both of those existing titles and then launching that new street title I just mentioned.
Now, you've worn a few different hats over at Forza Motorsport, and all of Microsoft and Turn 10 and the various properties over there, but your job now, you get to work on a lot of the big partnership deals, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So each year when you roll over to E3 or even LA Auto Show or something like that, and you're like, Forza Motorsport announces a new partnership with Ford, and the GT's on the cover, or McLaren and Senna's on the cover. And
you did a Porsche one, didn't you?
Yeah.
Justin, GT2 you're RS. Basically involved in that, and because Forza Motorsport is so big, you guys are reaching to the point where you are debuting the car on behalf of these car companies, as opposed to the car companies doing a Detroit Auto Show or something like that.
That's right.
It ends up going, you know, at E3 or something, right?
Yeah, we had the world debut of the Porsche GT2 RS at E3, and then 2 weeks later at Goodwood, they sort of did their official announcement of it. We did the North American launch of the Senna. We did the first public showing of the GT when it came out a few years back. Dropped it from the ceiling of the arena. It was quite a scene. But yeah, it's cool. The it's phone's amazing. Ringing
like,
a lot now.
If you're going to launch a car and you want to get it in front of as many eyeballs as possible, put it in front of 12 million Forza Motorsport.
Well, yeah, it's the evolution of where everything's going with the electronics, the social media, the gaming, and now we're seeing this evolution where I remember the Porsche and how I was like, wait a minute, it's launching there? And it shows because a lot of these gamers have grown up. Now they have disposable income, and they're influencing buyers and like that. I mean, the game has to influence so many people. Yeah, but one of the things I wanted to ask you, because I know through Matt we've seen it a lot when you've done some of Adam Carolla's cars and scanned them like that. Mm-hmm. How long does it take you guys to create one of those cars from an actual vehicle?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, touching all those points, and if you can get a little bit into that, I think everybody would really be interested in that.
Sure, yeah. So it's approximately a nine-month process.
Wow.
We can shorten that up if we have digital files like CAD data from the manufacturer and things like that. Oftentimes we can get that. A lot of the manufacturers now, I would reckon probably half of the ads you see now aren't the real cars in those ads on TV. Those are digital recreations of the cars, right? So,
especially your brand, Audi.
So the manufacturers have created a lot of these 3D digital files that we're able to use as well. And we don't cut and paste that necessarily, but it's just additional reference for us to build our wire mesh off of. So if I had a visual for you, just envision a wire mesh, you know, like a screen door. Looks like that. A bunch of data points, and then you apply the layers on it and all that. So we take the CAD that inputs the data. Then we have a technical sheet where we get all the technical stats on the vehicle. If we have the chance, we'll throw it up on a dyno and get some of that on our own audio files as well. So we'll put the microphones in all sorts of weird places to get all the different audio. Ideally, we'll get it on a track so we can get it shifting through the gears, and you get all the extra noise there with the rocks clipping up underneath it and all of that stuff. So we're collecting all of that during that nine-month process, and then we do a photo reference with it too, which is very tricky because a lot of these cars, we get ahead of it. Like the GT, for example, we were in the bunker before half of the Ford executive people knew the car even existed. Because
and then
we
it
had
changed
to source
slightly.
It. Yeah, then it changed a little bit too. But yeah, because we had to get it sourced because it took us that long to get it built, and we wanted to launch it when they, you know, made their announcement. So that was a big piece for us.
Well, and it's probably tough because as a manufacturer, the confidentiality of other companies knowing, because you've seen all of them.
That's
got to be pretty tough.
And one of the things I found really interesting, and I want Matt to kind of bring this up, is with Adam's car on the Porsche, how you explained to me the detail, I mean, the fanatic detail of how the right gauge, what was the story about, there was a certain gauge or something?
Yeah, there was a couple different things with those cars that we actually had some cars scanned for the game, and one of the cars photographed for the game, and that one was pretty intense. That took several days, but it just happened to be the big 1979 280ZX. It's the V8 twin turbo car. It's the one-off Newman Sharp car. And that was photographed. So in the parking lot, we had the car there. And that car is so incredibly complex. Around every panel hidden are different coolers and oil lines and all kinds of things. So that car was photographed. And then the entire body was blown off, basically, and laid out and detailed underneath it. So only in the game can you see all of the details from underneath the skin of that car, because we put it together. We never photographed it since. We should probably get some of those photos, by the way. But since then, we've done some other versions of it where we have a team. He sends a team in, and inside they take almost like a thin green, like painter's tape, and they grid the entire car with tape, and then they bring the ferro arm out, and they do these touch points and basically plot the entire car. And as you walk by, like, takes them about a day and a half, 2 days to do it. And as you're walking by, you see the car start to appear.
It's like the
on
skeleton of the car.
Yeah, and it's really kind of cool. And then all the photo references do the livery and the things like that. So it's a really incredible process. And one of the other things that I learned about more visiting their place in Seattle not long ago is how important and how much work goes into the sound.
That's incredible.
And now stepping up to like Dolby Atlas, I believe.
Atmos.
Like even the sound studio that they have there, they've got speakers coming out of the ceiling and just like allowing them to do just all encompassing
an audio environment,
sound editing and stuff is amazing.
Wow, I loved what you said that. About the rocks and like that, because that is a big part of kind of bringing you into the experience.
Yeah, that immersive experience, right? Because we don't they talk a lot about the racers talk a lot about the butt dyno, right? That you feel when you're coming in a corner, a car feels a certain way. That's the one thing we can't replicate.
Yeah,
right. Unless you have a huge big rig in your living room, it costs you $12,000.
Yeah.
So the best way to get that, the next best way to get that is sound, right?
Yeah.
And especially if you've got a really nice sound system or you're wearing headphones, you're immersed right into that experience. Yeah. And so we use a combination of, you know, all the audio effects from the vehicle itself, but then also the environment around it. So helicopters flying over, Matt was mentioning the Atmos, you know, that gives you altitude in your sound effects.
Yeah.
So you can hear the helicopter coming up over the hill behind you as you're cresting the hill and going back down into a turn. So all of that plays into it, and then we also have a orchestra that we hire to produce music for us, too. So you lay that on top of it, and you get a whole immersive experience.
Now, do you guys act as, like, Foley artists, and you have a guy, like, chopping lettuce to make a car crash sound, or is everything...
Not anymore, man.
Right?
Chopping
is everything
lettuce?
Authentic? Like, we say, hey, we want the sound of this car, or the sound of rain. Do you have guys just... recording rain, you know, and you probably send them to Australia because it maybe rains more there. Yeah. Although you're in Seattle.
No,
so
they actually crash a Porsche.
Yeah. Although I was in Seattle, he's like, oh, I'm taking my son to a baseball game or football game he was playing, and then it hailed for 10 minutes. I was like, what is this? What's coming out of the sky? What's going on? And he's like, I was like, what's
shaved
going
ice
on?
Bra.
I literally texted him, I was like, what's going on with the weather? He's like, wait 10 minutes, it'll be sunny. And it literally was.
And he had a sound guy out there getting the sound of that.
Yeah. No, we have an incredible, you know, probably over 2,000 now cars in our sort of full collection. And so we have audio files and reference from majority of that. So we can, some historical cars that don't exist anymore or manufacturers who don't have the technical data ready yet for us, but we've got to put something out, we have enough of a database that we can say, well, it sounds like these three factors, and we mix it together, and we have a sound. But the majority of it is all the real vehicles. And then the crashes and all that other stuff, we work with some studios out of Hollywood to help us with some of the audio sourcing on that, where they'll drop cars from cranes. They'll go, you know, we've done a lot of crazy tire testing and stuff like that, too. So go out and source all of that.
Yeah, I don't know. Now it's a toss-up between who's got the cooler job, Freiburger or
Yeah, I know. But you know what I was thinking, Matt? We drive all these press cars, right?
Yeah.
Why don't we just get the soundtrack, and then we don't even have to leave the shop. We can just like put a video camera in there, and you know,
it's like all the press cars are going to send us now are going to be they're going to be game, and they're just going to sit in the big chair and
get a little memory stick.
There you go.
Yeah, don't do that because you know we can't get to Vegas in a game. That's the only thing we can't get to.
That's right.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah,
do you work really close to so hypothetically? If I said, hey, let's do the NSX GT3,
yeah,
and you scan it, we put it in, we give you data.
Yeah.
And then I go, you know, can you make the wheel just a little bit bigger so it looks better than the R8? Because I would do that. Yeah. Or can we widen it? Yeah. Just yeah. No, yeah. You won't.
Can we get rid of emissions?
No, okay. We'll take the base data. We'll comp it against, you know, some of the press stuff that's out there and other things just to check it all. But
so you want to be authentic?
Yeah, we try to be authentic.
I mean, to me, when you scale something, it's got to be a little bit bigger. Like when you do a quarter scale.
Yeah.
Because then when you blow it up, it's different.
Right.
Yeah. Like, but can we de-restrict the airbox sound?
But you can, as a player, you can go in and tune change all this stuff up. Yeah. You can really tune these cars.
And do the graphics.
Just
too.
Like
the graphics
you do in real world. Yeah.
So, Matt, it sounds like the next time they come to do one of Adam's cars, needs to have a shift and steer sticker on it somewhere so that
when I think we're all going to start doing CarCast logos on all the cars as well.
Well, because, like DSR, I always put a little thing on the paint scheme.
Yeah. There you go.
We're actually going to buy more cars. We're running out of cars for them to scan. So.
There we go.
Well, hey, you know, if you ever need a rat rod, Red Voodoo would be a great one for a video game.
We're trying to get Birdsall's old Smokey in there.
Yeah, and, you know, cool.
His deserves it more than mine.
Driving his cars in the game would be the safest way to drive it.
But that would be cool because when they scanned it, they'd realize it was missing lug nuts and had all those wheels.
Right. No, you could make it rickety. I moved up to Outlaw. That's my goal right now is to get everything safer because my kids are at the age now where they want to drive. My son is a gamer.
Don't let those kids. That'd be parental abuse.
He wants to drive much of my collection, so I'm going through it. I'm at the 90%. I'm in the 90% club now, you know? I'm trying to get to that last 10% to say, sure, Finn, you can drive, you know? So it's a reality as a parent. I'm reevaluating my build quality that I built 20, 30 years ago to be like, well, would I let my kids drive it?
Yeah, but he rides in it. That's just as important.
That's a real thing, you know? Because, again, he's a gamer, so he's on that game, and he's, you know, he's invincible. And I'm like, no, Finn, that there's a certain reality that you need to experience.
There's other drivers out there.
Yeah, but what's really cool is I have some of those cars on that game. My family has a LaFerrari. We have, so he's like, going, is this like Grandpa's? Is this like Grandpa's Ferrari? And I'm like, what's it? It's Avorio. It's a little less white than that, Finn. So he'll dial it in. Is it close to this? So it's exciting for him because he's in that fantasy world of we get some reality in this too.
Yeah,
we have Isettas, you know.
The reality is his grandpa won't let Finn drive.
I haven't even driven that car. Dad barely drives that car.
I can give an Aaron story really fast at Pebble Beach, and the LaFerrari is there, and he said, "Would you move it? Because I don't want to drive it."
Yeah. I had a friend who just passed away drive it, but it's not my privilege to drive that car. Dad's worked very hard for that car.
Afraid of it.
It's a very special thing. Well, it's a very complex machine. It's not something you just jump in and go. You know, it's
takes
some preparation.
Didn't your dad ride in Red Voodoo once?
Yes, he did. So I have two paintings. One's called First Ride, and that's me and Dad driving in that car for the first time. And the other sequence is Last Ride, which is the time he drove in my Red Voodoo Rat Rod and said, that's the last time I'll drive in that car.
Isn't that painting like this?
With that in mind, do you put people in there? Are you still going to start scanning people?
You have characters you can pick. Avatar to put in,
What about motorcycles?
We haven't done motorcycles.
What because there's not a body on it? Is that why?
Yeah, there's a lot. Yeah, there's a lot
autonomous
motorcycles. With the game and mixing it with reality, you know, how does the, what does the person do when they get off the bike?
Perspective.
What if they crash?
Back
they,
to the
you know,
people.
There's just a lot of
serious logistics.
Physics and mechanics there that takes a lot of work, just
but
frankly,
you must
to make it to do it right. And so we, we're always
MotoGP
looking at it. We're always looking at it, but far we haven't done
it. It would be complex because the biggest asset you guys have is the gaming engine that powers all of the cars, and all of the cars can be based off this, and then it just keeps getting tweaked and modified, and even I don't know if you've even rebuilt it over the years or just taken that gaming engine and just evolved it over the last decade to what it is now to make it better, more accurate. You'd have to start
technology
over from scratch.
Well, for two wheel. Yeah,
for
sure.
Two wheel.
I mean, you'd have to make the experience correct. That's the hardest part. I'm sure you're doing it. You're looking at me
well, we're always playing with stuff.
But you don't have the luxury of evolution, because if you did a two-wheeled version of it, it needs to be the quality of what Forza Motorsport is here. Yeah. So you already have a decade of testing behind it.
That's why you haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, that would be really tough.
Will we ever see an evolution, do you think? And I know because you can't say certain things, but like where, like, okay, you're driving an off-road truck on Baja and like that, but a team member could be in the helicopter like they have the spotter helicopters, because that's more of a perspective type of thing.
Yeah, we have in the current version in Forza Horizon 4, there's a drone mode. Yeah.
Okay.
So you can go in and fly a drone around the environment and follow vehicles and capture that and create videos in-game and share them out.
That's cool.
So there's a drone mode that allows you to do that. So very similar.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
Is there a game that you guys are looking for, or I'm sorry, a car that you guys are looking for that you haven't put into the game yet? Is there something on your wish list?
Well, there's always a very long list. You know, even though we've got over 1,000 cars in the game,
amazing
still,
assortment.
Still
I was really surprised some of those vehicles. I'm like, right on.
Yeah, well, that's part of it, Darren. Is to get that variety, right? Yeah. I think we've talked about it when I've been on with you guys before. If we get three cars, we get your childhood memory car, your sort of fantasy car, and then maybe a car that you're close to buying or you have now. That you can go in and play around and modify it in game. If we have those three cars, then we've nailed it, right?
Yeah.
And so we
want
to do that for every player. That gets tricky.
With your job specifically, you're working on these big partnership deals. You have to find information from these car companies that a year or two in advance.
Yeah.
How does that process work? Like you mentioned the 4GT. You guys got a peek at the 4GT before anybody, basically, and maybe even the Porsche or Senna. Do you just start calling everybody, going, "Hey, what are you guys working on?" I mean, I know you can't tell
a lot of that, like you were talking earlier.
Or you're big enough that they call you and go, "Hey, we want to do
They call
something.
Us now, right?
Yeah.
Because of where we've gotten with our reach and the attractiveness of our audience, you know.
Well, you're
they're
marketing for them, too.
Yeah. They're calling us saying, hey, we have something special. Yeah. You know, with the McLaren Senna, they were calling us for about a year. They're like, hey, we've got something. And we're like, okay, well.
Yeah, we can't tell you what it is.
So
it's going to be sure it's a car.
But, we've got something interesting. Yeah, and so it's frankly just down to those trusting conversations. Well, then once you get into the confidentiality piece of it, then we have a very small group of people that have a lockdown.
Legal.
Like the cars. Yeah.
But you haven't effed up, so you've got the reputation that you're going to be secure if you use that.
Yeah, we've got a separate room in the studio. I think I showed it to you, Matt, when you were there, where it's only three or four people have access to that room, and that's where the files are for that particular vehicle.
Now the Senna's a really good one to talk about, because when you talk about perspective and like that, the way the doors are,
the glass doors,
and now you've got to add a whole nother dimension where you can look through those doors.
Yeah.
And that's not
true,
on anything else.
Yeah. No, that was fun to work on for sure. The team had a lot of fun with that, especially creating our video assets for it, being able to sort of shoot through the glass. And so
what is your software of choice for building?
What was that?
The software of choice.
Oh, the software of choice?
3D Max or?
Well, no, we've got our own. We've got
a proprietary.
Yeah. Those are for sure for ingesting stuff. Yeah, absolutely. But then we've got our own obvious code base for
Now, I think I remember a conversation we had with you once before, too, about tires. Your attention to detail on tires is to the point where manufacturers are going, really?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you guys go to extreme details that even the manufacturers aren't aware of.
Yeah, we went out to, this was a few years ago now, but we went out to Calspan, which is sort of one of those places that you're not supposed to really know about, where they do a ton of environmental and governmental testing on all sorts of stuff, rocket boosters and glass and tires. And so one of their areas of expertise is tires. And so we were out there testing a whole bunch of tolerance levels of the tires, because in the real world, a Goodyear or a Michelin only needs to test up to a certain tolerance, and right. they know
yeah.
nobody's ever going to drive beyond that tolerance because there's no way they could. But in our game, theoretically, you could drive beyond that tolerance level if you've upgraded the car or done some other things to it. So we're always testing that tolerance way beyond sort of where a manufacturer would have it, and in some cases, even where an automotive manufacturer would have it. So we're just doing all sorts of crazy tests on load and on heat. A lot of it has to do with heat, and the importance
surfaces,
of that.
I would
the
think.
Surfaces, yeah. And the contact patch, all of that.
Yeah.
All of that real-world stuff absolutely applies to our physics engine and how the cars perform in the game.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah.
Do any of the manufacturers ever reach back to you and say, hey, can we get that data from you?
we've had a few instances where we've had some manufacturers, especially around some of the more historical cars. A lot of them are reinvesting in their historical restoration process. Back in the day, they never had any 3D data, or they didn't have it. But we've, over time, been able to collect it from either private collectors or other people. So we've had people come back to us and ask for imagery, ask for digital files, that sort of
thing. That's awesome. Hey, we're coming to the end here. They're going to kick
the lights
all
are flashing. Okay.
So,
well, thanks again for having me.
Thank you for. Where can they find you online? What's the best website for people to go to or social media?
ForzaMotorsport.net is our homepage, and then Forza Motorsport Official is our Instagram. So
cool. And we appreciate you taking your time to come out here.
Well, it's great tradition now. I think it was, four in a row now? It's been fun. So.
Four in a row, and Aaron and I haven't gotten invited to one of the parties yet. What's up with that?
Yeah.
Come on.
I don't get to play with anybody. I'm up in Tahoe.
Well, I was there. What are you talking about?
I know.
Well, thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Hey, so Matt, where can they find us online?
Yeah, check us out at shiftandsteer.com, and all these podcasts are up on iTunes as well. So if you guys want to listen to the show, or just listen to his babble for any one of our shows.
Well, I'm confused because Brad always asks that. You don't know by now?
Well, he remembers it. I always get it messed up.
Brad doesn't know what show he's
doing. Yeah, I do so
You've
many
got
shows.
So many shows, so, Brad.
Aaron, where can they find you online?
I'm easy to find. Aaron Hagar Googles as well as the Rat Runner's Garage is my little shop up in Tahoe if you want to see some oddities.
The Shop of Horrors?
Little Shop of Horrors, pretty much.
Yeah, you can find
it's
me.
It's legal in Nevada.
I'm Motorator. Motorator on all social media.
And go there and check out his truck that he has here at the show. Yeah. Hey, Dave, our guest
Brad.
Host from Acura, where can they find you?
Acura.com, I guess.
Okay, and you can
you
also
can find
Dave.
Me in the closest bar.
Well, that's always the case.
Yes, you will.
And you can also find him with me on Man Seeks Adventure, another podcast that we do, Cars, Bars, Eats, and Adventure. And you can find my Instagram, Bradley_Fanshaw, or you can go to bondspeedwheels.com. And I want to thank everybody here, especially Magnaflow, who gives us this great stage and lets us take control of it for an hour every day of the SEMA show.
And entertain the lines, I hope.
Yes. And also, I'm just going to give a shout out to Acura because they gave me a really cool
Yay.
Car. RDX to drive here this week, and I appreciate that.
See? How'd you get that?
You know what? It just showed up on my doorstep.
Weird.
It had keys and had directions to Vegas.
I drove a tin can here from Tahoe. Dave,
I can help
man?
You out. Brad said.
I told you I want to buy an NSX next year,
I told you he was going away. He drank the cooler.
All right, everybody. Hey, thanks for hanging out for the show, and we will see you tomorrow, 11
to
noon.
Every day, 11 to noon.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's.
Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.